Joshua chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 as our text. And we'll be speaking this morning on this subject or this title, The Life of Victory. The Life of Victory. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for your word and for this passage that we'll concentrate on this morning. May the Spirit of God work in the hearts and lives of everyone who's hearing this message today. May our hearts be stirred. May we realize what we have in Christ. And may we live that victorious life for our Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've come to the part of Israel's history where Moses has died. And he was, to most of those people, the man that they looked up to as God's leadership for them. And his life is now ended, and God has already chosen someone to take his place. That man's name is Joshua. And so God speaks to Joshua, who is supposed to speak to the people, because Joshua has been given the task by the Lord to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. The story of Israel being led by Joshua into that land of promise, of course, if you know it, it's a very stirring account in God's Word. But I want to use what we're looking at here this morning and talk, yes, some about that, but I want to apply it to us because I think there's application here for every believer and encouragement here for every believer to attempt to live a life of victory. God, I think, wants us all to live a life of victory. So, a couple of thoughts here, just real quickly. The first main thought I want to bring to your attention this morning is the life of victory is God's goal for you. The life of victory is God's goal for you. If I were to do a survey this morning and ask for people to raise their hand who desire to live a life of failure and defeat, I doubt that I'd get any hands to go up. I'll hasten to also add to that, I shouldn't have any hands to go up. Most people don't want to live a life of failure and defeat. Most people want to live a life that's victorious and full of blessings and success and God's smile upon it. You know, God didn't want the children of Israel to live a life of failure and defeat either. Now, I know that you know this, but there were already people in the land. All that land that God described in our text that I read, all that land was already possessed by other people. People who lived there for perhaps generations, some of them. And God wanted them displaced, and God wanted Israel to live there. As we think about both Israel and us, there's three specific ingredients that I think are very important if we also are going to live a life of victory. And that is, first of all, we've got to enter into God's promises. We've got to enter into God's promises. God's promises to Joshua and through Joshua to the people of Israel, God's promises were very definite. Did you notice that as we read through here? Very definite. He told them that the land was already theirs. He told them the size of the land mass that they were going to inhabit. He told them very specific things that they were to know before they ever entered into the promised land and trying to make it theirs. God told them a lot of specifics and gave them many promises, but they had to act upon those promises. See, just knowing the promises weren't enough. They had to act upon those promises. They had to act, of course, with strength and with courage and with obedience. Did you catch how many different times where the Lord told Joshua, who would also tell the people, be strong and of a good courage? He was trying to get them to understand that they needed to enter into those promises. And I think the same thing is true for us. God has given us a lot of different promises in His Word, but just knowing them is not enough. We must enter into those promises. Another thing to remember is, in order to have a life of victory, you must not only enter into those promises, but experience God's presence with you. Here again in our text, a couple of different times the Lord told Joshua, I will be there with you, or I'll be there for you. He promised Joshua that just like he was with Moses, he's going to be there with him as well. Because he wanted Joshua to believe that he could accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. Why? Because he was such a great leader? No. But because God was with him. You and I have similar promises in God's Word. Not only several specific promises, but we have this promise that God is always with us. In Hebrews 13:5, just as an example, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I tell you, that's a good thought. We were last week, of course, we were gone, and that church had us come early. The pastor wanted us to come early. I said, you know, I could drive over there on Sunday morning. No, no, you need to come on Saturday. And we'll put you up in a motel and we'll have you over to our house for supper. And he made some wonderful chili. It was really, really good, wasn't it? So we had a good time of fellowship with him and his family for supper. But he put us up in a motel room, a very nice motel. And we were on the third floor. We had to ride up and down in an elevator. And the very first time we get in the elevator, there's a couple that comes into the elevator with us. And the man that was the part of the couple was a large, scary-looking fella. And we both looked at each other. And then we were in that elevator with him a couple different times. One time Sarah was in the elevator without me. She had gone down to the, I don't know, whatever you'd call it, where they get coffee and so forth. She had to go down to get us a cup of coffee. And she said, guess who I got to ride in the elevator with? Same guy. He's, you know, gentle and not a threat really, but just to look at him was a little bit scary. And I only mention that because there are scary things in life, right? There are scary people in life, scary circumstances of life. Isn't it good to know that God is always with us? No matter what happens, He's there. He's there with us, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He told us that. So again, when we think about this life of victory and it's God's goal for you, you must enter into His promises, experience His presence, and then this also is very important, exercise God's power. Exercise God's power. Just like in Joshua's case and the people of Israel, their power would not be enough to conquer those lands and those cities. Some of those cities, remember this, they had walled villages. Some of those people were experienced warriors. The children of Israel were not all that powerful in and of themselves. But you know, if God is with them and God's power is with them and God's will is with them, they're going to be able to accomplish exactly what God said they could accomplish. If Joshua would lead the people and do things on his own will and his own power and his own might, he'd probably fail. But if he knew it was God's will, and he was assured that God was with him and God's power would help him, well, then they could accomplish all that God wanted them to accomplish. And I believe when it came to conquering the promised land, God was with them and God did help them. But the same thing is true for us. We must enter into His promises, experience His presence, but exercise His power. Don't try to live the Christian life in your own power. You're going to fail. You're going to come up short every time. To make our life be filled with victory and success and God's blessings and prosperity, we must make the life of victory our goal and along the way utilize God's promises, God's presence, and God's power. The second main thought that I want to give to you this morning is the life of victory is God's gift to you. Not only is it God's goal for you, it's also God's gift to you. Would you notice in our text here, we'll start over at verse 1 again. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, speaking of the Jordan River, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Notice verse 3, please. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Isn't that an amazing statement? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. See here that God's telling Joshua that the promised land is already theirs. Before they ever possessed an inch of it, it was already theirs. God had already promised it to them. That means it already belonged to them. In fact, the amount of the promised land that they would get to enjoy, to some extent, don't miss this, the amount of the promised land that they would get to enjoy, to some extent, was actually up to them. Notice verse 3 again. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. You see it? Make believe that this platform up here, it's not very large, I realize that, but make believe this platform up here is the promised land. And the Lord says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given unto you. And so in this plot of land, which is the promised land, every place that the sole of my foot shall tread upon will belong unto us. And please notice as I walk around here, I'm walking on different parts of the promised land, and I'm walking over here, and I'm walking over here, and then finally I go over here. But did you notice? I didn't go up there. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you. What about that part up there? But I didn't walk on that. I didn't claim that. I didn't possess that. You see the point here? To some degree, what they got to enjoy was up to them. It was already God's gift to them, but it was God's gift to them in reality as they stepped it off. Can you see that? It was meant for them, but they wouldn't get to enjoy it until they stepped it off. In a very similar way, God has told us that the life of victory is ours. Let me prove it to you. Don't lose Joshua chapter 1, but let's look at two passages in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Find that with me if you would. I want you to see it. So maybe, I don't know if you want to underline it. You certainly can. But 1 Corinthians 15, 57, notice what this says, would you please? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read it again. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Here it is. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I read it again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see, these two verses, and of course there's many verses in God's word, but these two verses assure us that the life of victory is ours. It's already been promised to us. These two verses remind us that God has already promised the life of victory to each and every one of us. That means victory is already ours. But my question is, how much you get to enjoy depends on how much you step off. How much are you willing to step off, trusting God, trusting His Word, claiming His promises, going forward for Him? It's God's gift to you as you step it off. It means that victory is already assured, but will you believe it? And will you act upon it? Number one, the life of victory is God's goal for you. Number two, the life of victory is God's gift to you. And number three this morning, my final main thought is this. The life of victory must be gained by you. Just as it was here in Joshua's case. God told Joshua, who would also tell the people, look, God's given us all this land, it says in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, of course that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And then he said, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. You see, the life of victory was promised to them, but it must be gained by them. The victory is going to be gained, whether Joshua's case or our case, the victory is going to be gained by faith. By faith. By the way, faith is just taking God at His word and going forward. Taking God at His word and going forward. Joshua had to take God at His word and get the people to start walking forward. That's what he said, isn't it? Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Go forward. God had described the land, told him what the boundaries were, told him that nobody could stand against him. But listen, friend, it wouldn't be theirs until they started walking. Every place that the sole of your feet treads upon, that have I given unto you. They had to start moving forward. They had to start claiming it. In a similar way, the life of victory has to be gained by us. We must take God at His word. We must believe His word. We must claim His word. We must start walking forward. Put it to practice. By faith, take God at His word and start going forward. The victory must be gained by you. It's gained, first of all, by faith. It's also gained, secondly, by following. By following. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do, please notice, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Here it is, very specific. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Following. The plan was that God would lead, Joshua and the people would follow. Joshua was not allowed to chart his own path, but rather he was to follow the path that God had charted for him. God's presence and God's power was only going to be available as long as he followed the path that God charted for him. In a similar way, it's true for you and I as well. God is supposed to lead. We are supposed to follow. We don't get to chart our own path. We're supposed to follow the path that he has charted for us. Notice verse 8 in our text. Many people have memorized this verse through the years, but look at what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you're in the Word of God and you're memorizing what it says and paying attention to what it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The other day in our Bible reading, Sarah doesn't know this yet, but the other day in our Bible reading, we're reading in the book of Ezekiel, which is where the Bible reading schedule is right now. And for some odd reason, the thought came to me about all the times that we've done this. It's well over 45 times now. I forget the exact number, but we've gone through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We do it following that same schedule that we give out in January. And that's beside other study and things like that. Just for our personal Bible reading to do this every day and every day and every day and every day. And I got to thinking about all the different things that we've learned along the way. And how each time you read through it, this is how it works for me anyway. Each time you read through it, the pieces of it fit more and more together. For instance, when in our Sunday school, we're going through 1 Samuel and we're almost done with 1 Samuel. And then we're going to go into 2 Samuel. But when we read through 1 Samuel this year, it made a whole lot more impact on me because of what we're doing in Sunday school. And the same way with studying Isaiah on Sunday nights. And right now on Wednesdays, we're going through Romans. And so I know, you know, reading through Isaiah, and it made so much more impact on me. And when we get to Romans, it'll make so much more impact on me because we're going through that together in our church services. But someone might think, well, you know, after you've read it through once, isn't that enough? Someone who says that really doesn't understand the depth of God's Word. Amen? That book is so deep. That book is so profound and so full of riches and little nuggets and gems. You can't get it all in one time. In fact, you can't get it all in 45 times. I'm still trying to, and I don't know if I'll ever get there, but remember my Bible college days, there was a man that came over from India, spoke in chapel, and to the preacher boys, I was a part of that, of course, studying for the ministry. But he told us then, at that time, of course, he's probably in heaven now, he was an elderly gentleman then, but he told us then that he had read the Bible through 118 times. Wow. And he was still doing it again. You would think after 118 times, you've exhausted it. But he told us this. He said, I'm still finding things every time I read through it that I hadn't seen before. I'm saying again, the Bible is so rich and so full of gems and nuggets, and it's deeper than you could ever imagine. And as you get into the Word of God and as you read the Word of God, and I you know this, I try to stress to you to read it every day. Because in learning God's word and learning what God requires of us, you're going to be following the path that he's charted out for you. Again, Joshua was not allowed to chart his own path. He had to follow God's path, which meant that God's presence and power was with him. And the same for us. We don't chart our own path. We follow the path that God has charted out for us, which is why verse 8 reminds us to be in the Word of God on a daily basis, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So victory must be gained by us by faith, by following, and then finally by fighting. And I'm not saying fighting with your wife or your husband or your children or fighting with the pastor or fighting with other church members. No, the victory is gained by fighting, and I say that because when Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land, there were already people living there. And there were battles that they had to fight. When they arrived, it was already occupied by people who would be their enemies. You know, the Hittites were mentioned here. But as you study the Word of God in the Old Testament especially, you find out that there were all kinds of people groups that ended in ites, right? Jebusites, Hittites, you know, all the different ones. And they occupied those lands, of course, and God warned them that those enemies were there. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man, don't you love this? There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. The victory would be gained by faith and following, but also by fighting. Why? Because there's enemies there. Victory was assured because God was with him, but a lot of enemies to fight along the way. In a somewhat similar way, there's a truth there for you and me, because we also have enemies. And our enemies are not the members of our household, and the enemies are not the members of our church family, and the enemies are not the Democrats or the Republicans. The enemies I'm talking about is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And be assured, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not want you and me to live a life of victory. They want us to be discouraged. They want us to be despondent. They want us to be defeated. But God said in his word that the victory is assured, so long as we do it by faith, we follow his path, and we're willing to fight the battles that are there. God is with us, and we must always remember that. Please notice our text again, would you? Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The life of victory is God's goal for Israel and for us. The life of victory is God's gift to us, just like it was for Israel. It's God's goal, it's God's gift. And thirdly, the life of victory must be gained by you. You must gain it by faith, by following, and by fighting. You and I, as God's children, are assured of victory. So you know what my challenge is to all of us? Let's move forward. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and no one's looking. This is not time for retreat. This is time to move forward. Father in heaven, thank you for this message. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge it gives to us. You know us better than we know ourselves. If there's anybody here that's maybe on the edge of discouragement or despondency, maybe even on the edge of defeat, please encourage them. Help them to remember that you are with them. And the promise of victory is theirs if they'll just step it off by faith. Follow the path that you gave to them. Be willing to fight the battles along the way. But the victory is assured. Bless this invitation now as we give it. Please have your will to be done in Jesus' name.